Welcome in, Husker fans. You guys are listening to an emergency version of the Views Pod. Derek Peterson here with you. Greg Smith joining me today. Greg, how you doing, bud?
I'm well. I don't know if emergency is right. Should we go special edition?
Okay, we'll say special edition.
Special edition. It's a happy time, right?
I'm a little chilly, though.
Yeah, a little bit. It is. Is it frosty?
Yeah. So we are podcasting on location right now from the press box at Memorial Stadium, looking down on Tom Osborne Field. And if you haven't seen the big north end zone video board yet, there is a nice picture of Scott Frost's face next to home. Scott Frost, the head coach for Central Florida, is coming home. Greg, this has been kind of the worst kept secret in sports in a long, long time. But it was officially announced yesterday during their championship game, which was terrible, but we don't need to get into that. I know that people have known, but once it was officially official, what was your reaction?
You know, my honest reaction was that I was a little bit taken aback, like kind of swept up a little bit, right? Like I was caught up in a little bit of how everyone's reaction was, because like you said, everybody kind of knew that it was coming, or a lot of media I would say knew it was coming. I think fans were holding out judgment, and they were hoping and hopeful, but they were a little hesitant because of how past searches have gone, and they don't know Bill Moose very much, so I kind of understand that. But once it happened and everybody kind of let all of the joy and happiness out, I found myself really happy for Husker fans and how excited that they could be about this, given how this season went and how downtrodden and sad things had gotten there at the end of this season, and how pessimistic everything was, the half-empty stadium at the end of Ohio State game. I felt like the fans deserved that big happy moment, and I'm with you. The whole announcement leaking out during the game was not great, and I think took away from a little bit of everything. It took away from UCF, their championship, but also took away from some of the excitement that Husker fans were feeling, and then they kind of got over that and then let it all out.
Right. Nebraska's Twitter account tweeted out that it was like a 50-second video of Frost from the 97 national championship game, and it was like chills. Can you imagine if that had been the announcement? If everything had gone according to plan and no one leaked anything until that video hit Twitter, can you imagine what would have happened to this fan base?
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
That would have been one of the most retweeted tweets in the history of Twitter.
Yeah, it really would have been.
Yeah. We'll talk about that AAC championship game for a second, because it was phenomenal. And I think every single eye in the country at that point was tuned in to that game, or at least it felt like it. Central Florida was just running up and down the field, and it was really funny when the news broke. ESPN had the, like, our own Brett McMurphy, and it's like, yeah, that's not your guy anymore.
No, it's not.
any time to laugh at ESPN. But it was funny because you said this earlier. That was like a giant infomercial for Scott Frost. Like, look at what we have. Look at what I can do. Come play with me.
Yeah, that was that's how I've been describing it since yesterday, is that it was a 3+ hour infomercial for Scott Frost, his program, what he was able to build, and what he hopes to do here. And I don't know how you, if you're a recruit, if you're a potential coach that would join his staff here, if you're a current player, if you're a fan of the program, I don't know how you don't come away from that game and just their season in totality saying, yes, I want to be a part of that. I think everyone is eager to get to work and be a part of that, because if they can recreate that here at Nebraska, it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
And it seemed like they were trying to maybe capitalize off of that a little bit last night after the announcement was made, when the game was over and everybody was making preparations for this Sunday morning press conference that we're getting ready to hear in a bit. But it seemed like they had a plan for after that game, and 5 offers rolled out really, really quickly. One of them to a quarterback that you talked to, Adrian Martinez. What are your thoughts on this impact on the recruiting trail that seems to have been seen kind of right away?
It's extremely smart, because Scott Frost's star and his name recognition right now will not be bigger again in the short run. Now, it can be if they come here and win, right? You'll get bigger than that. But for right now, without having played any games, it's not going to get any bigger. So, in my opinion, it's extremely smart that they tried to capitalize on that right away. And not only was it smart to try to just capitalize on it, they had a smart way of going about the plan that they were going to pursue here, right? So, if you mentioned the 5 offers, the quarterback goes out, and it's the first quarterback that they've offered at Nebraska, which means something. And I did talk to Adrian Martinez. He's a four-star dual-threat quarterback, 6'2", 200 pounds, out of California. He specifically mentioned how exciting it was that he was the first quarterback that they offered for their Nebraska era, right? He specifically was very excited about the offense and seeing that new quarterbacks coach Mario Verduzco told him that he hoped that he would come to Nebraska so that he could help them be the number one offense in the country like they are at Central Florida. That's a nice little humble brag there to be able to say when you can do that. So if you can do that to other skill position players and offensive linemen on offense, you can clearly do that. And then you can tell them on defense that we're playing an attacking style of defense because we produce turnovers and all of that. They've got a really compelling pitch right now. They also quickly sent out offers to a junior college offensive tackle, a junior college cornerback, a speedy running back, and a pass rusher.
What's a junior college player?
Right. Those existed in Nebraska. Again,
really?
Which was something that we talked about kind of privately as in preparation this week for this announcement that I'd been telling people, hey, the junior college ranks will be heard from again here at Nebraska.
Well, it was
it's
funny.
Going to be a thing here.
It was funny because watching the Ohio State-Wisconsin Big Ten Championship on Saturday night, there were JUCO players in that game. Mm-hmm. So it's been weird to not see JUCO players at Nebraska.
It's been a strange thing, especially considering some of the glaring holes that this football team has had, and that also, to bring it full circle, I think that the staff coming in had done some research on the roster that they currently are inheriting, because all five of those offers, big positions of need for what they're trying to do moving forward. They knew exactly what they were trying to do when they sent out those offers.
Yep. Is Martinez committed anywhere?
He is committed. He is committed to Tennessee, which is interesting because, as we know, Tennessee is going through a lot of issues right now. He, like a lot of kids, will be taking looks around to make sure that their situation is the best for them. The offensive tackle, the JUCO offensive tackle, is also committed, by the way, to Arkansas, another school without a head coach currently. So they also, you can see it, the more you think about it, this is a plan of attack that's well thought out and put together by Coach Frost and his staff.
Yeah, I think they planned that out.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, to kids that might be looking to move away. We're going to get to, I caught up with Tyler Grady from UCF Night News down in Central Florida, covered the Knights this year, and we're going to get to my talk with him in a little bit. Really interesting things to say on the Knights and on Scott Frost and building that culture there, taking that team from 0-12 to 12-0. But first, Greg, I want to ask you, one of the things that I think is going to be a topic of discussion as we get closer to the season is Frost's offense and the level of play in the AAC compared to the Big Ten. Do you think that this offense that Frost runs can be as effective as it was? Because they were first in the country in points per game. They were a top 10 efficiency offense. Can it be that effective in the Big Ten against better defenses?
Yes. This offense, to me, is tried and true.
Short answer.
The short answer is yes. This offense is tried and true and proven to work everywhere. It's worked in the Pac-12. It's worked in the ACC. It's worked in the AAC. We have not seen this particular version of it in the Big Ten. There is more of a spread option attack at Ohio State, and we've seen them run up a bunch of points on people. A lot of the other...
Nebraska specifically.
Yeah, Nebraska specifically. There are other schools in the conference that are starting to move towards, you know, Purdue is starting to move towards that, but they're never going to have the athletes that, say, in Ohio State or even Nebraska can attract, obviously. I think that it's perfectly reasonable to expect that this offense will work in this conference, because not the defenses are better, but they're going to be able to attract better players here at Nebraska as well. And the other thing that we keep missing around here is player development. So what happens? So that's, say, pie in the sky, not that unrealistic to say, if Nebraska gets better athletes in here with Scott Frost and they're actually developing them. We haven't seen that combination and marriage actually come together around here in a while, right? We've seen some good recruiting, but then guys get here and don't really get any better. If that changes, I think that this offense will be just fine. But they've got to find that signal caller to actually run this offense well. But they also they have a couple of guys on the roster that are pretty intriguing for that, too.
Tristan Jebbia.
Paging Tristan Jebbia.
Jebbia. Jebbia for quarterback 2018.
Are you already putting your flag in the ground on that one?
Yeah, I think it'll be him.
Okay.
I think it'll be Jebbia. I think that skill set matches a lot of what Mackenzie Milton can do, I think.
Quick decision-making, smart.
Yeah. You know, and
accurate arm.
Probably the most mobile of the three that they'll have, depending on what Tanner decides to do. We're going to get to my talk with Tyler, and then when we come back, I've got a big, big philosophical question for Greg, so keep it here. All right, so I want to welcome in Tyler Grady from UCF News. Tyler obviously covers the Central Florida Knights and has spent a good deal of time this season around a very, very good team. Tyler, up until this season, this was not a very good team. Everyone knows about the 0-12 record 2 seasons ago. So if you had to try and simplify kind of what has happened that has allowed this team to have such a rapid turnaround, what's the culprit? Is it Scott Frost or is it something else?
All right, so when you look at the arc, it's actually pretty interesting because 2 years before that, you know, that winless year, they were in the Fiesta Bowl. So you go from a huge BCS win to conference champion the next year to winless. So it's not that team was devoid of talent. The coaching staff kind of let them go by the wayside. And Shaquem Griffin talked about this last night. He said that it was a group of individuals. It wasn't a team. So when Frost got here, kind of the first things that he did was he set about putting things into motion. He had guys staying together that didn't know each other. He had offensive and defensive guys getting together. He had young guys getting mentored by the old guys. He kind of forced family down their throats, and it's incredible to see that the tangible difference between when things start to snowball and mistakes start to be made and fingers start to be pointed to the accountability. Guys have touched on it all year. The senior leaders have touched on it all year. These kids have become accountable to each other and to their coaches. And it was a culture shock and a culture change. And it's so clear that you can point to that.
It's really cool when those kind of intangible changes or those intangible things lead to tangible results on the field. I think one of the most noticeable things that I've seen with this decision finally becoming official has been the way that everyone around Frost has reacted. UCF sent out a tweet that read, "Sending off Coach Wright, good luck at back home," or something along those lines. And then the reaction that I've seen from Nebraska players is overwhelmingly excited. They seem pumped up to get the chance to play with this guy. And then reading players' comments from UCF, not just today and yesterday, but in past weeks, they love him. What is it about this guy, or what is it about the way that this guy kind of goes about his business that makes everyone want to play for him and be around him?
So what he does is he encourages you to kind of be yourself. When he got here, UCF, they didn't have names on their jerseys. It was a very strict facial hair policy. It was a very strict haircut policy. It was, you know, it was almost like playing for the Yankees. And they, you know, it was all business all the time. Frost got here, and like I said, he kind of came down on a personal level with them. He met with every single player that was on the roster already and talked to them and asked them, you know, why things were the way they were. And he got involved with them. He got involved with their lives outside of football. So it's everything that he does kind of beyond the gridiron that is the selling point, that's the difference between him and the next offensive guru. And then it's fun to play in his system. Guys love to watch it. They love to play in it. It's fast, it's explosive, it's exciting, and they get a lot of attention from it, which we know these kids love.
Yeah, I think if people were just tuning in to that Memphis AAC championship game on Saturday, I think some people were like, holy crap, these guys are hilariously entertaining to watch. So what was the mood like this week? I mean, those close to Scott have said that this was an incredibly difficult decision for him. We heard from UCF AD Danny White after the game that this was something that Scott almost felt guilty about doing. I mean, what was it like this week around the team?
I think guilty is a pretty good way to put it. It was almost somber. He came in on Monday for his usual press conference, and it was a completely different vibe. It felt like goodbye from Monday forward. The way that he was talking, the way that the coaches were talking, the emotion that was welling up within him, even, like I said, a week out, it was strange. And Monday and Tuesday were bad days for the players. It came down to a players-only meeting Tuesday after practice for them to kind of get it together and get going and snap out of it. But they were 1 foot out the door, and everybody knew it. You know, Zach Duvall was liking tweets about going back home, and it just there were signs everywhere, and it there were a couple of people holding out in desperation, but in their heart of hearts, I think everybody knew that he was gone.
Okay. And yet, after all of that, they had to go play a conference championship football game. I mean, were you surprised with how well Central Florida played? I mean, especially to start that game, but then finishing it out the way that they did. Were you surprised at all by that performance?
I won't say I was surprised, but I wouldn't have been surprised if they came out a little bit flat either. I didn't expect them to maybe hold on as well as they did. And it's a testament to that players only meeting. It's a testament to how close these guys have become, which is something instilled in them. But that game, that championship, that belongs to the will of those guys. They really came through for the guys on the field around them.
Right. So you were there. You saw just the insane offensive show that Central Florida and that Memphis put on. I mean, just describe to me what that game was like, what that atmosphere in the stadium was like kind of before, during, and after the game.
Yeah, so a week ago was kind of the greatest moment at that in that stadium's history with UCF taking out USF in that crazy back-and-forth ending. And so it kind of felt like, well, how do you follow that up, right? And the stadium was packed. It was just as full. It was an electric atmosphere. It was the kind of things that we haven't felt here in Orlando since that 2013 Fiesta Bowl run. It was a good way to send everything out. Where everything had kind of been somber all week, the pure charge in the air was something long to be desired, something that they hadn't experienced before Frost got here, or at least in a couple of years before Frost got here. And yeah.
Yeah. So this next question. Go ahead.
I will say real quick that Riley Ferguson and Memphis looked like a completely different team than when they came in here for the early on in the season. They were clicking on offense. They were making big play after big play. There were a couple of big chunks, and that's going to happen. So there were a lot of fans freaking out, obviously, because UCF hasn't been tested like this, only once or twice. And it was a good game of football, you know?
It really was. And I saw a lot of people kind of on a national level that probably haven't watched much Central Florida football this year that were freaking out like, oh, these two teams don't play defense. Just had a jet fly over my house, so that's cool. people freaking out and saying, well, these two teams don't play defense, so what's going on here? And it's like, these are two really, really good offenses. And it was just fun. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. So playmakers are going to make plays.
Exactly. And we're not going to have any kind of American Conference slander on this podcast because I think that league is legit and on the come up, and I love watching American football. But UCF's strength of schedule this season was something like 90th in the country. When you look at the offensive production, when you look at the way UCF moved the ball and scored points, is that something that you think is going to be effective in a conference like the Big Ten, or is Scott going to have to change the offense a little bit?
You know, we were sitting around kind of talking about that last night in sort of the aftermath of everything, and I don't know. That's one of the things that I'm most curious to see. He's not going to have an Adrian Killens and a lot, you know, he's not going to have a Mackenzie Milton. He's not going to be playing UConn once a year. He's not going to be playing ECU once a year. It's a completely different level of athlete, level of competition. I think that the system works. I think that you've seen that system work before. It's just a matter of getting the right guys in place. And he was very fortunate to be able to get McKenzie in his freshman year, burn his red shirt, which was questionable at the time, but he built that foundation that allowed them to go undefeated this year. So he found the right guys very quickly, something that his staff has done an incredible job with. So if he can find the right pieces up there, I think that the system works. It's a great system. It's just a matter of, are those athletes there right now?
Yeah. In hindsight, I really, really wish that Georgia Tech game would have happened, because I think everybody's going to point to the Maryland game as saying, well, I mean, he played a Big Ten team and look at what they did to them. But I think if they had gotten that Georgia Tech game, another game against a Power 5 team, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing this team in the playoff. I think they've got that good of an offense. I think they would be getting a little bit more respect. If that Georgia Tech game had happened, I think the strength of schedule kind of would have been boosted by that a little bit. What are your thoughts on this team and just kind of, I guess, the level of disrespect that they've gotten this season from the playoff committee and from national people? What do you think?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's kind of... So when the American Conference opened up their media days over the summer, they rolled out this huge Power Six push, right?
Yep.
And I think what you're seeing here is disrespect, call it what you want. What it is just it's Power Five bias. And it's become so clear-cut this season, I think, more than anything. Do they deserve to be in the playoffs? That's really tough. The top four is really tough to break into. I think that they deserve to be top 10. They deserve to be higher than they've been ranked all season. But I understand there's a glass ceiling for a group of five program.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I also, I mean, it would be nice to see them in the playoff, but I also think that there's such a gap between Clemson and Oklahoma right now that I don't think it matters. I tweeted this Saturday night. I don't think it matters who the other two teams are. I think Clemson and Oklahoma are going to inevitably meet in the championship. So let's put UCF in a New Year's Six Bowl and let them go undefeated and have that good feeling to close out the season.
Yeah, you know, they're going to, if the rumblings are true, there's some indications here that they're going to be getting Auburn in the Peach Bowl. If they get Auburn in the Peach Bowl, I think you are going to get a fantastic test of this whole hullabaloo. If they don't even come close to competing, because Auburn may very well be the best team in the nation. You know, at least they're up there. They're one game away from making that playoff.
Right.
So if they get Auburn and they get smacked in the mouth, then I think it's kind of like a, hey, we told you so. But if they hang in there, I mean, it'll say a lot. I don't know if that'll happen, but it'll be an exciting test for this group of five in general.
Right. I will say this. I covered Oklahoma last year when they went to the Sugar Bowl and played Auburn and all. I mean, the Big 12 gets biased, too, because of the defense that they play and the style of football that they play. But, you know, everybody was saying Auburn's going to smash Oklahoma, and then we go into that game and Oklahoma handles them. I want to ask you real quick, we heard from White yesterday, but I just want to get some clarification from you. Do you know what the plan is moving forward for this coaching staff, or what UCF sees the plan moving forward into the bowl game for this coaching staff?
Yeah, it was a little bit of convoluted muddy waters last night. What Danny White said was that Frost and his staff are committed to UCF, committed to seeing these guys through the program, which I think is a little bit of a testament to how much he fell in love with this school and these guys around him. More, I think, the guys around him than anything. But he wants to come back. He's going to be in a different state. He's going to be on the recruiting trail. White said that the plan right now is for Troy Walters, offensive coordinator, to handle the day-to-day, to run the practice, to run the preparation, to get insight from Frost, for Frost to come and be involved when he can, and to come coach the bowl game. I don't think it happens. They still have to talk to Nebraska. They still have to clear it by, you know, the Huskers. And it's just the logistics of it don't make sense. Like I said, he left it open to back out. Right now, officially, the plan is for Frost and his staff to coach the bowl game, pending, you know, any feedback from Nebraska.
Hmm. That's a strange setup if you're flying back and forth. I mean, it's like a 5-hour flight, so it's not an easy trip. Plus, you're splitting duties.
You're trying to get an entirely new program off the ground. It's
exactly,
no small task. And UCF's going to be, you know, out there headhunting for their own next, you know, their own coach. So, I just don't see it happening that way. I understand why he would say something like that, especially last night, coming off the conference championship, undefeated. Emotions are what they are, but I just. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. What will be your lasting impression of Scott Frost?
Lasting impression of Scott Frost.
Got a big philosophical one for you.
Yeah. No. That's. I don't even know if I've asked myself that question yet. You know, it was a strange, exciting, really fast 2 years. Nobody could have predicted that this thing would go the way that it would. I think the thing, you know what stands out more about Coach than anything? He came here and the plan was always to go to Nebraska. The plan was always to leave eventually. I think everybody knew that. He didn't expect to, in my opinion, he didn't expect to fall in love with this school and these guys so much. He didn't expect to like this job so much. So what I saw from Frost was constantly a guy that was trying to protect himself and protect his image and protect his players. He is very carefully spoken. He chooses his words mid-sentence. Sometimes he'll kind of change course and protect where he was going. The guys absolutely love him. His players talk all the time about him being more than just a football coach. And I will always remember that, but you know, as a media member, I always remember him as being very reserved, very protective. He started to open up with us a little bit this year, and when he does, when he lets his guard down, he's a very personable guy. He's the kind of guy that you'd see why, Nebraska would go wild just trying to get him. You see that, but I think he was always just a little bit closed off down here.
Yeah, I remember earlier in the season, he was asked about kind of the team fighting through distractions or him fighting through distractions or something like that. And he completely like went away from what they were trying to ask him and talked about how, you know, it's distracting that the new Call of Duty game is out. And I can totally see why everybody loves that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So you get that, like, I mean, if that wasn't that bad, he's 1 for 30 on those, but, every now and then you get some stuff that's pretty dang good. He can be pretty funny, pretty relatable.
Yep, I think everybody here is excited about what's coming, and I'm sure everybody there is a little sad about what just left. But I think UCF's got a good program, and we'll see where this thing goes from here. Tyler, thanks for joining me. You want to give a little plug for where people can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at TylerGraddyKN, or check out anything I do over at nightnews.com.
Cool. All right, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Derek. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, bud. Great guy, Tyler. Make sure you hit him up on Twitter for coverage from Saturday's game and for kind of a look at what Frost is leaving behind. Greg, turning to you now, I want to ask you, what are realistic expectations for Frost in these first couple seasons at Nebraska?
I would say 7 wins for year 1 and then in the mix for the Big Ten West in year 2, I think would be realistic.
I think 12-0 is realistic in year 2. He set the bar there. You got to hit that now.
He did set the bar there. And I do feel like when we get there, people will be saying that, hey, he did it there. He could do it again here.
He's going to go 6-7 this year, and everybody's going to be like, 12-0 is coming.
Yeah, do the exact same thing that he did. But no, I think that you got to, like, I think baby steps, you got to crawl before you can walk. The great unknown, though, is this team is not devoid of talent, right?
No.
Like, this is not a team that you're inheriting that the cupboard is completely bare. So the thing that is so unknown to me is how many guys are going to get quote-unquote unlocked, right? So if they're great developers, as they've been, the staff and a lot of these guys, wherever they've been good at development, if they're able to do that and identify a handful of guys, or say 10 guys that they can really level up and take to the next level in their game, that really has a quick impact on what you're doing, particularly if they nail down the quarterback spot and get that offensive line figured out. That offensive line, to me, is the key on how fast they can really get this thing off the ground.
And that's really been Scott's MO. I mean, Tyler talked about that the UCF team that Scott inherited it wasn't devoid of talent. It wasn't a typical 0-12 team. They had talent, and he developed players, and he put players in new positions, and he created a culture that elevated the style of play, and they started winning. So that's something. But I like their schedule next year is just brutal.
It is. That road schedule is brutal, especially. But you know what? I look at these things and how I generally operate as an opportunity, yeah. Right? In that, okay, yes, it's very difficult, and you play some really tough road games. But how about this? If they can knock off a team or two on the road and win a couple of these tough games and have some momentum, I'm not saying that they go undefeated. I'm saying that you win a couple of those, you have the other ones not be embarrassing losses. You show well for yourself mm-hmm. out there. I think that you have something to build on. That gives you building blocks. So people want to see incremental progress and not just a huge step back, even though it's year one.
Right. And I think I'm going to use basketball as an example here, because I think these two sports get looked at differently when you're talking about young teams or teams that are trying to build something. When you've got a basketball team that's really young or a team that's just coming together, if you're just competitive mm-hmm. and you show signs of progress, people feel a lot better.
Yeah.
If you're a football program and you're losing, that seems to be what people focus on, and they don't see the signs of progress. I think you've got a chance against, like, Ohio State on the road, Michigan on the road, Iowa on the road, Wisconsin on the road. You got a chance to go trial by fire.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, really see what you got.
Yeah, learn a lot about your team, learn a lot about kind of what you're going to have heading into 2019, and that 2019 slate is a very winnable slate of games.
And that Michigan game that you mentioned on the road, Scott Frost, first road Big Ten game at the Big House.
Oh, that's going to be a great atmosphere.
That will be fun.
That will be fun. Well, we're going to wrap it up on that note. We are expecting the college football playoff reveal here in a little bit. It's like a 4-hour special on ESPN.
Really?
So shout out to ESPN for winning the day with the ratings.
Shout out for their advertising.
Yes. Oh, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to go hear from Scott Frost as he is introduced as Nebraska's next head coach. Keep it on HillVarsity.com through the rest of the day for all of the coverage on the coaching transition. I'm Derek. That's Greg. This is The Views. Talk to you later.